I think it's already been said, but happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Clap your hands one more time for the head of the house. The head of the house. Amen. That means the head of the house, you are responsible for paying all the bills and make sure that everybody eat well. Speaking of eating, Sarah, I hope some forks are coming around. And it's interesting that you're here today, and we have some forks coming around today. And so, guys, can you scream what's written on your fork for me? What's written on your fork? Stop. And we're going to explain this as the series matriculates. Amen? And so I do want to do this. If you can, I'm going to dive in here in a second, but I want to just kind of prep you real quick and take notes. So you have your fork and stop. I want to give you this for so many reasons. So please make an effort to write what I'm about to say on your phone or on a piece of paper. So stop real quick. I won't be here for about 30 seconds. S stands for situation or historical context. It's not on the screen because I just decided to do this just now. So you have stop. Before you eat, everybody say, before I eat, I need to stop. S stands for a situation or historical context. T stands for type of literature. T stands for type of literature. You guys do know the series is how to interpret the Bible correctly or properly. So before you eat God's word, you need to do what? Stop. So before you eat God's word, you need to stop. Everybody say stop. The O stands for object, or who are you talking to? Who you talking to? Everybody say, who you talking to? So you're reading the God's word, and you need to stop, guys. You need to stop before you eat God's word. And the P stands for, is what we're reading a prescription or a description? It's taking everything in me not to go a mile deep in this, but I just want to whet your appetite for the next time I'm back up here teaching. Amen? And so I'm here a little bit sooner than I thought I would be because of unfortunate reasons. And hopefully you guys are still praying for Lady Webb, amen, who buried her mother on yesterday. So please keep her in your prayer. So I'm back, guys, continuing the series, how to interpret the Bible properly or responsibly. I like what Josh said. Responsibly interpreting the Bible. Amen? That sounds really good to me because there's an opposite of responsible and then there's opposite of proper. But guys, I want to be really, 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 really serious. You can put your forks down. You can put your forks down. I want to be really serious because I think there's a lot of revelation in Father's Day. I heard somebody say, how you treat your earthly father sometimes is an indication of how you treat your heavenly father. So if you don't have a good relationship with your earthly father, it may be an indication how you respect and honor God the Father. That makes sense? Makes sense, guys? And so I want to be very serious because there's much revelation in Father's Day. And I want to be very, very serious. Y'all know I'm a pretty serious guy, right? When I want to be. And so I want to ask a question, and God revealed the answer to me, and it was, why don't they have Father's Day sales? I'm being serious. They have Mother's Day sales. Sales, sales, sales. S-A-L-E-S. They have Mother's Day sales. I'm being serious, so y'all already stay with me now. Why don't they have Father's Day sales? God revealed to me because fathers are priceless. That's why. He revealed it to me. Y'all smiling, but I'm being very serious. And I got a few more seriousness. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. Why did the cheerleader bring her dad for breakfast? What did the cheerleader bring her dad for breakfast on Father's Day? Mothers get the world, but fathers If your daughter is a cheerleader, you may get Cheerios. This is awesome. Number three, I'm being very serious. Where did the cow family go on Father's Day? So you have a family of cows. So you got a mother cow, you have the father cow. Of course, it's Father's Day. To the movies. Tomatoes. If y'all throw some tomatoes at me, I'm going to make some pasta, so bring them on. Why did the Bean children give their dad a sweater? Bean, B-E-A-N. Why did the Beans children give their dad a sweater for Father's Day? So imagine the Beans. They went to their dad and said, Dad, we're going to give you a sweater on Father's Day. And the daddy looked at the sweater, said, I don't need this sweater. And the Bean children said, because it was chilly. It was chilly. Last one. Why do sons? Y'all saying, bro, this is horrible. But why are you laughing? Why do sons love Father's Day so much? Why do sons love Father's Day so much? And while you guys are thinking, I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she sung my dad's praises. One of the few times I've heard her sing his praises. And she was like, yeah, your dad, when he had you and your twin brother, he was calling everybody. He got cigars. He said, I got me two boys, because she had twins. I got me two boys. And so he was just happy to have sons. Amen. And then he got the Bible, and he threw the Bible open, and wherever it landed, that's what he named me. Because my name is Alpheus. You can find it in Acts 1, I believe. Alpheus, my middle name, Bartholomew. We're streaming too, so... my middle name is Bartholomew. You know my daddy threw the Bible open and pulled that from somewhere. But he was so happy to have two sons. And then later on, he would have two more sons. Because my family, we have two sets of twins. My mom getting pregnant twice and having four kids. That's a miracle. The reason why sons love Father's Day so much, because it's on Sunday. Sunday, you get it? How to responsibly or properly interpret the Bible. This is a summer series. So the question I asked last week, guys, what topic is more important than properly interpreting the Bible? Think about it. Have you had time to think about it? If you were not here last week, I asked the question, what's more important than properly wanting to interpret the Bible or interpreting the Bible correctly? Or interpreting the Bible responsibly. Everybody say responsibly. We want to be responsible when we are handling God's word. Because the opposite of responsible is what? Irresponsible. We want to be proper when interpreting God's word. Because the opposite of proper is improper. Imagine improperly interpreting God's word. If there's a system to interpreting God's word, then the opposite of systematic theology or approaching God's word with the system is that we are fluid. The opposite of being solid when interpreting God's word is being flimsy. Imagine the fruit of being flimsy when opening up the Bible and interpreting God's word. If we're flimsy, then our lifestyle perhaps would be flimsy because we're not getting to the truth the right way. There's a right way. The Bible says we should rightly divide the word of truth. So the opposite of rightly is what? Is wrongly. So this helps you eat, have a healthy digestive system, because truth is healthy. So when you properly interpret God's word, it helps you have a healthy digestive system. And so my topic for today, I never do topics. I normally respect the series. The topic for today is, hold it up, guys. What's on your fork? And so I see it now, just, I mean, it just hit me because now it's literal what's on your fork and it stopped, which is basically before you eat God's word, you should stop. What's the situation? What's the type of literature? What's the object? And then is it prescriptive or is it descriptive? But what I, today, that's not really what I'm going to teach about today, but what's on your fork? I'm going to explain that here in a second. I ask God that you would breathe on this teaching this morning like only you can. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. You would never, ever be able to interpret a closed Bible. If your Bible is closed, you won't be able to interpret it. I can guarantee you that. When you open your Bible, you will be confused. You will not understand everything that is in your Bible. That doesn't mean that it's not true. Again, you should stop before you eat God's word. What's the situation? What's the type of literature? What's the object? Is it prescriptive or is it descriptive? I'll talk about that next time, but I'm whetting your appetite. Don't say God is not speaking when your Bible is closed. Your Bible's closed. God, I'm just trying to hear from you. He said, open up your Bible. God will never say, close your Bible and just listen to me. Make sense? He would never say, close your Bible and just listen to what I'm saying, because it depends on what you eat that day. You may hear something that God didn't really say. When it comes to this good old book of good book, some people call it the good book, Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. Everybody say basic instructions before leaving earth, because we are in a hotel called earth and we're going to leave one day. Amen. And we do want to live our best life God's way. Amen. That's the only way you can live your best life, is living it God's way. The only way you can live your best life is living it the way God wants you to live it. God, how do you want me to live it? Everybody say, open your Bible. Just open up your Bible. But why do we have a lot of lifestyles in the earth? We have a lot of different ways of living. Some people think killing innocent people is the way to live. Some people think that hating each other is the way to live. Some people think that racism is the way to live. Some people think divorce after divorce after divorce is the way to live. How do we know the right way to live? Everybody say, open that Bible. And so the enemy is trying to get us to not trust the Bible. If we don't trust the Bible, it's like we're not trusting God. Why is he trying to get us? Why are so many accusations about the Bible? Because he wants us to distrust God. The Bible's not true. You have people saying things like, the Bible has been changed. Don't trust it. If you're watching online, hopefully you can see this image on the screen. But first of all, bro, why are you so mad? Got smoke coming out your ears. So mad. Don't trust it. The Bible has been changed. It's been translated. Everybody say, duh. It has to be translated. I am not so prideful to think everybody speaks Fairfax, South Carolina English. You know the Bible wasn't written in Fairfax, South Carolina English, right? Right? The original text is not in English. And so for us to understand the original text, we need a what? We need a translator. 2 weeks ago, Lex and I was in Switzerland. I was in Geneva for a couple of days. She was in Baden, Switzerland. And then we met up in the middle in Zurich. And it was so romantic. It's not Valentine's Day. It's Father's Day. So I'm going to stay on subject. But guys, I spoke to a group of about 70 singers. And I got up and I said, listen, guys, this is not going to work. And the host said, you're exactly right. And they grabbed a translator, because I don't speak French. I had a guy in front of me was from Madagascar. I've seen the movie, but I mean, I had a real life person from Madagascar. I had somebody there from Timbuktu, not Timbuktu, but that's a real place. You do know Timbuktu is a real place, right? Yeah. All right, but it was over 10 different nationalities in front of me. And I knew they were not going to understand the Fairfax, South Carolina young man that was in front of them that was about to teach them. And so if you travel internationally and you want to communicate, you're going to need a what? you're going to need a translator. And this person that's translating is very valuable. They are very trusted. So 2 weeks ago, I'm in front of these guys, and I was able to complete my assignment because of what? This translator that translated what I said to this group of people. I mean, it became a game for a minute because I was trying to learn French, and I would say words just to learn it, and I would just say just random stuff. It was phenomenal. I posted about it, and people online was like, man, that's awesome. I wish I had that experience. They were saying, giving me well wishes. Say, man, how blessed you are to be able to experience that. But I was able to complete my assignment because of translation. Nobody thought it was bad. It was accepted. My original ideas was translated to over 10 different nationalities. French. What else? Give me some other languages. German, Dutch, in front of me. I'm speaking in Fairfax, South Carolina, English. And then I would say something, she would say it in this, she would say it in that, and I had to be patient and let her do what? Translate. But the main idea was protected and it was communicated. And it was okay. Everybody say it's okay. So when you hear people say, the Bible has been translated, ask them, do you know how to speak in Hebrew or Aramaic? And if they say no, then say, duh, it has to be translated. Guys, the Latin version of the Bible is the Vulgate. If somebody bring a book to your house or mail you a book and it says Vulgate, you may throw that book away and say, this is the demonic book. What is the Vulgate? The Vulgate is the Latin version of the Bible. It's not in English. And so, wait. Don't throw the Bible away. That's the holy book. It's also basic instructions before leaving the earth. It's just written in what? The Vulgate, come on class, is written in what? It's written in Latin. It's what? It is, starts with a T. It's what? It's translated. Duh, it needs to be translated. Amen? Because everybody doesn't speak what? But there's a group that's, thank God for translations. I would be lost without translations. So if it's okay in 2023 for Alpheus to have a translator to translate what I am saying, why not respect the translations from thousands of years ago? It's Father's Day, so I want to honor this deacon that I grew up with. His name is Jeremiah Glenn, a praying man. He would say something like, oh, Jesus, won't you be so pleased? Have mercy right now. Oh, Jesus, rest in peace, Deacon Jeremiah Glenn. Happy Father's Day. I was speaking somewhere, and I always talk about Deacon Jeremiah Glenn, and I was on a Zoom or somewhere, and I think it was a Zoom, and his granddaughter was on the Zoom. And she teared up. She said, you're talking about my granddaddy. Small world, right? Deacon Jeremiah Glenn is wanting to communicate to us this one idea. And the idea is, my back hurts so bad that I need to sit down to get some relief from pain. Deacon Jeremiah Glenn is saying, repeat after me, my back hurts so bad I need to sit down. See, already I left off a word. I need to sit down, but it doesn't change the meaning, right? I didn't mean to, but it doesn't change the meaning. Amen? He says, I need to sit down. Say it with me. I need to sit down to get some relief from the pain. Translated, the pain in my back was so severe that I had to take a seat and alleviate the discomfort. Translation, still in English, but you see what's happening here. It's basically saying the same thing. Is anything wrong with this translation? Perhaps, guys, come on, class, you can write this down. The NIV, you have the NIV, you have the KJV, you have the Message Bible. So just know when you see these translations in the Bible, it is definitely, it's in English for one, but it is feeling something like this. Things are going to be left out. That doesn't mean the Bible is false. The King James Version is representative of a group that translated the Bible a certain way. Duh, they were men. Amen. Does God use men? Absolutely. He used men to translate. If it was okay for Alpheus to have a translator 2 weeks ago, it is okay to translate the original scrolls or the original texts or what God spoke to men or what the eyewitnesses of the crucifixion and Jesus's existence on earth. These eyewitnesses wrote down what they saw, and it was God inspired, God breathed. It's what God told them to write. It is trusted. Yes, God used men, and it's okay. God used your doctor, amen, and it's okay. You give God praise for men, amen. We give God praise for men. Thank God for men. Father's Day, happy Father's Day. Thank God for men. That's how we're able to understand what God said. Amen. Jeremiah Glenn said, "The excruciating pain in my back compelled me to seek relief by sitting down." Mi duele la espalda, necesito sentarme para aliviar el dolor. I did practice. I know it sounds a little broken. But basically what I said, the pain in Jeremiah Glenn's back was so severe that he needed to take a seat to relieve the pain. Mi fa male la shaina ho bisogo sogno di sedermari. Even in broken, don't you laugh at me, you need a ride home. That English was that was so terrible. But I want to tell you, I promise you, they would probably say, somebody back hurt and they needed to sit down. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to say. Many translations is okay. That's why the name of this series, I love this series, because the more you dig, the closer you're going to get to the truth. Amen. The Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth is going to do what? Set you free. Who want to be free? Yes. We want to be free. Amen. There's one meaning, but many applications. As you dig, there's not going to be several meanings. What stands out to you is different than what stands out to me in the text. But it's only one meaning. How do we get to that meaning? So when you are responsible, you are more likely to get to that uno meaning. What is uno, guys? One. So you already see how it's okay. Uno is what language? Spanish. So you see what's happening here. It is okay. So don't look, be aware of the naysayers, the skeptics about the 66 books that we respect as God's word. Amen. What about the lost books of the Bible? We won't talk about that today. That's juicy though. Matthew 15 says, don't you see, I'm almost finished, and I'm really almost finished. I have a history of lying in this pulpit, because when I say I'm almost finished, it'd be about 37 minutes later, but I am almost finished today. I don't want to bear false witnesses. I got an old man to see. Hope he likes where I'm going to take him today, because they sell kangaroo and they sell ostrich and they sell elk. I hope he likes it. Amen. Y'all stretch your hands towards me and say, I hope your old man likes ostrich. I want to see why I grew up poor and I grew up eating everything. We're going to see how much that's true. When I sit you down and this menu says ostrich, we're going to see what you made of, Daddy. I got somewhere to go today, so I'm going to stay on schedule. Matthew 15, 17 says, don't you see whatever enters the mouth? I'm not trying to be graphic. This is God's word. Whatever goes into your mouth goes into your stomach and then out the body. I'm not trying to be graphic, but that's what the Bible says. But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these, everybody say these, defile them. Defile is such a bad word, such an evil word. Everybody say, what's on your fork? This statement here is a powerful statement. Your mouth will only get you in trouble if your heart is in trouble. Your heart is in trouble when the truth is nowhere to be found or it's full of lies. Don't you see? It comes into your mouth, it comes into your body, and it goes out. First of all, we're reading this passage and we need to understand analogies. Everybody say analogies, or write this down. We need to understand metaphors and analogies. Basically, this is like, or a metaphor, which is a figure of speech. It's not Valentine, but this just really fits. My wife's voice is music to my ears. Does that mean she can sing well? No. Terrible singer. No, I'm just kidding. But when she speaks, it's like music to my ears. That is a figure of speech. So you will see this in God's word. So now you see how to properly interpret God's Bible, God's word. When you there's a system to it, understanding metaphors and analogies, and when it's literal, it needs to be taken literally. And when it's not, it shouldn't be taken. Stop before you eat, because P stands for what? Is it a prescription or is it a description? You may see something in God's word where what's the application? You are an onlooker seeing a conversation happen between two people, and that's their business. And perhaps that's you just need to see their business taking place in God's word. There's an application, but let's not get too caught up in what went on between two people's conversation that we make a whole doctrine out of their conversation. That makes sense? All right, so what's on your fork? First of all, this Matthew 15, 17, and 18 is missing verse 19, in my opinion. So if I stop at verse 18, then I don't have the full context of, so you mean what I'm saying makes me defile? So I need to keep reading to verse number 19, because Matthew 15, verse 19 says, for out of the heart, read this with me on the right, ready, set, go. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Obviously, if your heart is in trouble, your mouth is going to be in trouble. You ever heard somebody say, your mouth is going to do what? It's going to get you in trouble. But your mouth is only getting you in trouble because what? Your heart is in trouble. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. If somebody is saying something, and somebody in my house has been watching a lot of First Take. And if you're not into basketball, Stephen A. is one of the commentators on First Take, and he's talking about what's going on in the world of sports. And he said, Stephen A. said, that I don't believe what Ja Morant said, because he said it before and his actions was different. In other words, Ja Morant is living a reckless life that I believe that he will change. Amen. He will change with God's help. Amen. Not on his own. And Stephen A. said, sir, I heard you apologizing for the embarrassment, reckless behavior you are displaying. You just lost $60 million because of one decision. Imagine losing upwards to $60 million because of one decision. You had one job, play basketball, go home, eat steak. But he said, I don't believe you, sir, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So it sounds like Stephen A. is judging his actions, but he is judging his actions because I think it was, what's her name? When somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Good old Dr. Maya Angelou. She says, when somebody shows you, when somebody says something, believe them. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Fathers, I'm talking to us. I don't have any kids I can claim on my taxes, but I get it. Some kids call me dad. I say, well, let me claim you on my taxes. Well, my daddy's already claiming me. Well, go to him and call him dad. You're not good for business. No, I'm just kidding. When the digestive system of a father is messed up, the family is messed up. Hold it up. What's on your fork? I'm almost finished. I would not be a liar today. Matthew 3:27 says, and I want to really end with this. What's on your fork? Fathers, mothers, cousins, sons, daughters, what's on your fork? What are you eating? Properly interpreting God's word is really important. Before you eat God's word, you should what? You should stop. What's the situation? What's the type of literature? What's the object? Is it prescription or is it description? And so we're going to talk about that next time in detail. Amen. Mark 3:27 says, but no one can go into a strong man's house. All the strong men in the house, make some noise. I said, all the strong men, and I'm not saying if you lift 100 pounds, I'm saying strong metaphysically, strong in the spirit, all the strong men in the house, make some noise. That feels a little bit better. But no one can go into a strong man's house and steal his property. First of all, you're carrying a 9mm, but really because unless he first overpowers and ties up the strong man that just made some noise in this room, and then he will ransack and rob his house. In other words, Alpheus, I'm a strong man. I want to be a strong man. I'm claiming to be a strong man. I feel like a strong man. Amen? Yes, if you touch my arms, you're going to say, yeah, you're a strong man. Amen? But I want to be strong physically and metaphysically. But if somebody comes and captures me and ties my hand up, I'm a strong man, amen, and I'm captured and I'm in another country for 40 days, my hands are tied up, I'm a strong man, and they are going to feed me for 30 days. I'm captured. I'm captured because what's happening here? I cannot do what I want to do. I definitely can't feed myself because what? I can't feed myself because my hands are tied. But I'm going to get fed, but who's feeding me? The person that captured me. The enemy is feeding me. You think he's going to give me a good diet? Not at all. The enemy is going to feed me lies. I mean, some bad food. My hands are captured. My hands are tied. I'm captured. And so the enemy is going to feed me a bad diet. I can't feed myself because my hands are tied. And so I am vulnerable to whatever the enemy feed me when my hands are tied. Men, we have to make sure the enemy don't come into our house and secretly tie our hands up. He's going to feed you, but he's going to feed you lies. He wants you to eat and digest what he wants you to digest and eat. And that could cause you to be bound for years, if not for a lifetime. He wants to feed you lies, and lies are poisonous, even deadly. False doctrine is what he wants to feed us, men. Amen? False doctrine is more harmful than a tornado. A tornado may kill your body, but false doctrine will harm your soul. It's hard to speak truth from your heart when it's full of lies. How did they get there? My hands are tied, and I'm just eating whatever the enemy wants me to eat. Even this goes for the ladies, the beautiful ladies in the room. Don't let the enemy tie your hands. You're going to get fed something. So it's hard to speak truth from your heart when the truth is nowhere near your digestive system. Psalm 15:1 says, Brother Lawrence, Lord, who may dwell in your secret tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one who walks blameless, not sinless, who walks blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart. It's hard to speak truth from your heart if truth is not in your heart. That has nothing to do with tone. It has everything to do with content. It's not about tone. It's about content. You speak truth from your heart when truth is in your heart. Amen? So be careful not to, y'all see the bottom line. Hold your fork up and say, what's on your fork? Next time when I come, I wish it was next week. Next time I come, I'm on a roll now because it seemed like it should go in sequential order. Next time I come, guys, remember, bring your fork. We're going to talk about stop. So before you dig it in God's word, stop. What's the situation? What's the type of literature? What's the object? Is it prescription or is it description? Guys, when you do that, you are rightly dividing the word of truth, properly interpreting God's word. You're not being flimsy with it. You're not saying, this is what I think this means to me. No, this is the original intent, the original meaning. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Y'all just pretend like y'all eating God's word, and you've done your due diligence, and say, this is some good food. Y'all stand up, say, this is God's word is delicious. This is delicious. This is life-changing. You ever had some life-changing food? It makes you want to do what? Go back over and over and over again and eat some more. Have you ever had some life-changing apple pies? It makes you want to go over and over and over. Well, at least think about it, because most life-changing apple pies are not in a restaurant. They're in a corner and sitting in the corner of a church. In the house of Judah, my right, your left. Oh, but the word of God is available to everybody. Amen. It's available to everybody. And you can just stop before you eat. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you for what today represents. We as men are going to stop before we eat. Alpheus is imagining a world where men are responsible with interpreting God's word. God, help us to be responsible, not theologians, but responsible Christians, handling your word, knowing the truth, standing up for the truth, spreading the truth, being great fathers, being great men. We are men that people want to be around because the truth has set us free. Who doesn't want to be around somebody that's free in spirit, that's free-spirited? It's free because of the Holy Spirit. We're going to leave here encouraged as men to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy with your help, Jesus. When I change, the world will change. I'm going to take my rightful place. If I'm watching online, I'm going to take my rightful place in the kingdom as a man of God. With your help, Jesus, we pray and we ask this in your son's name. Amen.